Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central.
Hello, it's the In Wheel Time car talk show coming to you live from the Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise In Christmas Edition out here at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy, Texas. Just ahead, more of our talk show theme with a very special guest.
All guests are special.
They are. This one we don't get to talk to very often.
No, I just said we haven't seen him forever.
I know. Mr. Mars reviews the Pacifica if we can get to it. If not, he's just going to have to wait.
Yeah.
Plus, we'll have the events calendar, and later on, we'll take a look at the stories making automotive news headlines today. Howdy, along with Mike Out of This World Mars, King Conrad DeLong. We always need more Jeff Zekin.
We do.
And over here, ladies and gentlemen, is the fabulous and famous chief engineer and head potentate of all things wired and unwired, David Ainsley. I'm Don Armstrong. Glad you could join us on this this Saturday morning. It's cloudy, but you know, I see some blue over there.
There is.
There's no rain. We got a great turnout here at the Cruise Inn. Matter of fact, those people that are showing up bringing toys. We got four tables full of toys.
Thank you, folks.
Yes.
Thank you.
All these toys are going to go to charity. And
still time for you to come out to Lupe's.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have lunch. Hang out.
Yep.
Yeah. We appreciate it. Judd Holt. Can I say son of Stan Holt? It's okay.
Yes, of course.
Because you are.
Yes.
Yes, you are. And his lovely wife here. And it's so good to see you guys. And we haven't talked to you in a while. And Judd heads up the Loopy Tortilla organization for many of the restaurants around. And it's good to talk because, you know, the Loopy Tortilla franchise certainly has expanded since I – got involved in 2007, and there's been a lot of expansion, and it's evolved, shall we say.
Yeah, it's changed a little bit to keep up with the times and get into locations that we want to be in.
Yeah, and congratulations on the success of all of that you've accomplished. I understand that New Braunfels is the newest location now.
Yeah, New Braunfels opened about 60 days ago.
Yeah, 60 days.
It's been doing very, very well.
Darn. You've had to spend some time in New Braunfels?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we do spend a lot of time up there anyway because we have a house and not too far from New Braunfels. So,
is it on the river?
It's on the lake. It's on the canyon lake. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, good.
Yeah, so it's nice to have a Loopy's that close, and it's on the way to where we're going. So, when we're headed up there, so we get there. You know.
So, what do you want to start? You want to talk about racing? You want to talk about Loopy's? What do you want to – where you start? You tell me.
Yeah, let's talk. I'd rather talk about racing than talk about
Of course you would. Well, we do have a car talk show here, so we're all game for racing.
Absolutely.
And so what is your forte? Drag racing?
No. Well, I've obviously done some drag racing in my life, and I recently bought a new drag car to go out and spend some time with Dad drag racing.
And what kind of car is it?
It's a drag pack.
A drag pack. Explain to everybody what that is.
Yeah, so it's a Charger. Track built Charger, about a high sevens car in the quarter mile, quick car.
Built, it's a factory racer.
Factory built, right? Yep. Comes with the roll cage and
it's not. Car. It's a not streetable car. It is sold by the factory to someone like you that wants to go drag racing, and it's drag racing ready.
Well, pretty much. You're kind of down to maybe a few minor tweaks to the engine that are allowed. I mean, it's a pretty tight class as far as the rules go. And, of course, you know, as is true with all drag racing, it's mostly about the suspension and the setup. You're running a 9.5-inch tire on a tremendous amount of horsepower, and so getting the rear end to hook up is the key to the game.
Yeah.
It should be fun. I've not driven the car yet. I bought it at the Barrett Jackson auction in Houston. Kind of went there with the idea. Actually, wasn't at the Barrett Jackson auction when I bought it. little plug for Barrett Jackson's online. I was actually at turn one of the F1 race in COTA on my iPad, hoping that the Wi-Fi signal would hold up well enough so that I could keep bidding on the car. And so I actually bought it there. While I was watching the F1 cars qualify. So it was a very automobile experience. I'd been there on the day before to look at the car, and it's brand new. So never been tracked, brand new car, and it's one of 50. So
one of 50.
But the drag pack is to Chrysler what the Copo is to Chevrolet,
and what the Cobra Jet is
and
to
the Cobra
Ford.
Jet,
right?
Is
and
to
so
Ford.
That the NHRA is setting up a class that already has factory stock, right? And so
which is factory, but stock is kind of a nebulous term.
Yeah,
at that point.
Anything that comes with a roll cage and no door panels is hard to call that stock. they did a fabulous job. I mean, the car is really well done for a race car. I mean, you know, it looks
like a car you buy from Chrysler or Chevrolet or Ford that's running in the sevens is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, pretty remarkable to just be able to go out on track and do that with minor tweakings. I think it's going to be a really competitive class, and I really am hopeful that it's going to take off, because that's kind of the origin of drag racing.
Absolutely.
Anyway, right?
Yep.
Ford versus Chevy versus Chrysler. So
it's kind of where Pro Stock started back in the
early
70s, late 60s.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think this class is it's attainable for more people, obviously, than Pro Stock is. But it should be fun. You know, I'm excited to get back on the drag.
When is your first event? Have you got it scheduled yet?
So I still have to license, and so there's a race in NOLA that I'm going to go license on the car, and then we'll, you know,
go from there.
Go from there. Yeah. So we're going to, you know, step weight into it, and obviously J-Rod is going to.
I don't know what he's doing. You know, us older people, we have tendency to do this sort of thing.
Yeah, I know. He's over here asking me questions, and
definitely.
I'm like, I can only be interviewed by one person at a time, Dad. Oh, February 24th. There it is. Oh, he was giving me the date. I did the same thing to him, only I just did it with hand signals earlier when he said how many restaurants are in Dallas. I was like,
four.
Four, yeah, there's currently four in DFW. So going to get licensed. And then, you know, my race schedule for circuit racing is pretty busy this year. I'd like to see the car presented as often as possible. So it may not just be me driving. Everybody that knows J-Rod is like,
J-Rod
is like antsy to get behind, itching to get behind the wheel on it also, and shake the car down and get it dialed in. So I'm hoping he'll drive it as well.
So no pun intended, but you've drug your wife into this as well.
She came willingly.
Did she?
Yeah.
There was no dragging.
There was no dragging. She's a track girl. Yeah, and a car enthusiast. She's got a, you know, my wife is her main passion is her grandchildren and her children, and then after that comes horses, and then cars is third. But I will tell you that just to give you some sense, she drives a F-250 Ford. Lifted pickup truck, and her lift is 2 inches taller than mine. So, just to give you some,
there's
sense,
a little bit of an advantage there somehow.
Just to give you some advantage, she's like, "How much lift are you going to put?" And I went, "I'm going to do 4." And she said, "Okay, then I want 6."
So with that, so running down that list,
definitely a car girl. She also has a fully customized H2 Hummer 4-wheel drive that is she's the original owner. And we redid it about 3 years ago to have it kind of brought up to, you know.
But you drove in an SS Chevelle convertible.
Oh, the bad Kiki.
Yeah. So that list that you gave where she's got her priorities and things, I didn't hear where you came in on that. You were like eighth or ninth down the line?
I supplied the children and the grandchildren.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
He's no, in there.
I'm in
somewhere.
There. Yeah.
Somewhere.
Okay. I didn't want to put myself in there, because if I'm wrong, then she'd give me the look.
Or something jump ahead of you.
And listen, we all know about the look.
The
right.
Look.
Yeah.
We don't want the look.
If I put myself in the wrong order, I may go. And I also don't want to find out that I'm after the horses or, you know.
You're always after the horses.
Okay, so let's talk about the road race thing, because obviously that's something that you're also passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well let's finish up on the Malibu real quick.
Certainly.
Just because we were at Barrett Jackson and she saw this car and she's like,
and I gotta have it.
Obviously she'd seen the Bad Moms movie where, you know, she commandeers his hot rod, and she's like chomping at the bit. and I don't know how many guys' wives are like over here, like, can we get a Chevelle, you know,
please
SS
go
with a big block? Yeah. So, Yeah, that was her. She was there like, you know, I'm like, she wants something at an auto auction. This is good. I've picked the right woman.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what did we buy?
So we bought, it's a 1970 Chevrolet Malibu SS with a 454 big block. Yeah, so.
We were just talking about that earlier.
Passes everything except the gas station.
Yes, yeah. That's right. Yeah, it is not a very fuel economical car.
But fun.
Oh,
and boy, does it attract attention.
Yep.
Oh, it
and,
does.
Yep, and the car was redone by Barrett Jackson, so it's done really well to stock. It needs a few things still, you know, to make it more comfortable.
It's one of Craig's ex-cars?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah,
right.
So it was in his
Everything's
collection.
First class.
Everything's first class. Like, yeah, so if you look through the car, it's just like, you know, but first class, but the things that are patinaed on the car are done deliberately, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we don't want to fix that because we want the car to have that stock.
Aged
feel. Right. You know, it wasn't designed to be a show car. It was designed to be like, yeah, that's as close to original as you would expect
but
one to be with light
wear.
But,
it doesn't make any difference if you even bought the most perfect car mm-hmm. known to God.
Right.
You would still think, but I don't. We need to do
just
a little bit here, a little bit there. It's always that.
The first thing Dad said when we pulled it off the trailer was it needs exhaust. And I don't think I ever got the bill for it. So he felt like it needed exhaust.
He did. He did. He said it's not loud enough for you, dear.
Yeah.
So. And I love that.
Yes, I'll bet. No doubt.
I love that she looks beautiful, but sounds mean.
Well, the sound of a big block is hard.
Here comes Ms. Holt.
Yep.
Oh, there she is. Yeah,
you can't beat
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course, we picked this freezing cold day to bring it out, but it was, you know.
Sorry.
Is there ever a bad day?
Yeah. Next week is going to be even colder, so it's the perfect day today. Now you want to go into road racing?
Sure.
I want to hear about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So during COVID, I was kind of locked down into my house.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of traveling from restaurant to restaurant was kind of not in the cards. You know, human resources departments kind of took over the world there for a while, and they're like, you've got to like
control everybody's movements.
Yeah, and stop. You know, me going from restaurant to restaurant was not. No one was doing was going to do that, right? Just because of the concerns. So, I had to, for the first time in a long time, I had some time on my hands, and I'd been kind of following circuit racing, and I went, man, I think this is the moment. So I did some due diligence and some research, and through a couple of friends of mine, I ended up buying a spec racer Ford. So if you're not familiar with what a spec racer Ford is, this is it's built by SCCA Enterprises, so the SCCA Racing Circuit actually owns the car and the design. It's them and Ford. They and Ford work together to build and design the car. And the car's been around for quite a while. It's on its third generation of
the
car.
Is this an open wheel car?
No, it is an open wheel car, but it has a body on it. So it's very similar. Rear engine. Car weighs 1,560 pounds.
It's like a 2 liter, isn't it?
It's a 2 liter, makes a total of 135 to 37 horsepower.
But it weighs nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's a sealed engine class. I mean, it's as strict a class as you can race in
circuit racing. About the driver.
You can't get a part for the car without going through SCCA.
Yep.
It is really an equalized racing. And the cars are, I mean, the car is fast. I mean, there is not a lot of things that are, there's cars with 300-400 horsepower that cannot beat this thing around the track because it's so agile.
I'm sure, yeah.
And it's slammed to the ground, you know, and it's just when you drive it correctly, it's like it's on rails. So
So the first question I have to ask you, did you find out how bad your driving skills were when you got into it?
In the beginning, I realized, like, wow, there is really an art form to doing this.
Uh-huh.
It takes a tremendous amount of practice to get
My
good
God,
at it.
God, I'd be terrible.
Fortunately, Spec Racer Sports, Dave Perkins and his team are at MSR Houston at the track, and my car was there. So I joined the track, and I was able to go out and drive any day I want, you know, kind of like joining a golf club. And so I was able to really get out there and put a lot of practice in before, you know. And so I practiced probably 4.5-5 months before I went and licensed.
I have to ask you, how do you get coached? Because you don't have somebody sitting next to you on a headset saying, okay, you need to take that apex a little tighter, little ease off the brake, whatever the case may be. How do you learn?
So general racing strategy and learning to drive the line and all that, you actually can do that in any car.
Right.
So we would get in my – I've got a CTSV Cadillac. We'd get in that Cadillac and, you know – good.
Yes.
You know,
but it applied to this car that has probably 10 times more vectoring power?
Racing line-wise, it does. I mean,
really?
your racing line, your driving line is going to be your driving line pretty much regardless of car. There may be minor tweaks and differences for the spec car.
Momentum's momentum.
Momentum is momentum.
And in so that car, it's all about momentum.
Right. How to be slow in, fast out, and drive the car correctly is kind of car agnostic to
yep.
a degree. Obviously, there are cars that perform, you know, wing cars perform really good on straights and really less good on in corners when you don't have the aero advantage. So
right.
This car, the Cadillac CTS-V performs fairly well. It's over horsepowered for most circuit tracks. You know, in a stock, you know, daily
yes.
driver,
mm-hmm.
it needs a lot to make it track worthy.
Yep.
But that's how I learned to draw the line. So follow, you know. Put somebody in the passenger seat that's a driver coach, and I sit in driver's seat.
Did you
seat.
Do that?
Or
yeah.
your
yeah.
wife.
Yeah. Well, and I've taken a lot of people on rides as well in that car just because it's fun to go out there and go out.
Did you ever embarrass yourself?
Not in the Cadillac, but I definitely embarrassed myself a bunch in the spec car when I was first
yes.
learning to push the
yeah,
car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've embarrassed myself as late as yesterday, though, because when you're really trying to drive the car at the threshold.
But you want to find the limit of the
right.
car.
Right, you got to
find. So you can drive right at the edge of it.
Yep, exactly. And so, you know, and weather conditions and track surfaces vary greatly. And so, you are trying to find the edge of the friction circle, as they say, for the car. Anyway, so I licensed. And my first race was at Hallett up in Oklahoma.
Oh, love that course.
Yeah.
He's an Oklahoma boy.
Okay, yeah. So
been to Hallett many
nostalgic
times.
Nostalgic track, really, really cool. You know, they play the chicken music in the morning every morning when you wake up, which I thought was –
chicken music.
Yeah, well, that's what I call it, the chicken song.
Yeah.
To wake everybody up every morning. Anyway, we went out there, and that was our first experience. And you know, obviously, I didn't do super well because it was my first time being on track
yep.
in a competitive, had to learn
the track to a degree.
Yeah, I'd learned. Definitely had to learn the track, and that track is can be technical in spots and dangerous in other spots.
Is that track digitally available? Because I
yes.
know a lot of tracks you can find digitally where you can go mess with them.
Oh, are you talking about like where you can race it on like a sim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Hallett is not on iRacing at this point, but there are, I think there's...
And don't know that it ever would be because what the track provides
yeah.
the community.
Yeah, it just requires somebody to go out there and demand that it, you know, that it be there. And, you know, most iRacing folks are like, I'd rather,
yep.
you know, they'd rather go drive Laguna Seca.
Or Coda. Or
Coda,
whatever, yeah.
right. Yeah, like, you know, a pro track, you know. Not that Hallett isn't.
And you know what? I have to interject here. I love Coda, mm-hmm. but you know, as a spectator to go there, it's like Indy. You're only going to, at the best, you're going to see a straightaway mm-hmm. and two turns.
Right.
And Coda is kind of that way. I had an opportunity in the spring, and I went on the hot rod tour of Texas mm-hmm. with my old Corvette. With you know. Whatever, the LS1 engine. It's a 6-speed. It's 20 years old, but it's mine, and I like it because it's old like me. And I had a chance to go. They had a track day for all of us Corvette people, and we went out there and just had an absolute ball doing that. And it is very, very challenging.
Very.
With the highs and the lows of the actual elevation of the track, the turns, the different, it's crazy. And you have to be really skilled to go fast on that track. And I can only imagine what it would be like in your situation.
Yeah, so it is a very technical track. There's a lot of blind turns. It, you know, and it's fast too. You know, the back straight is very fast. And turn eight is can be treacherous if you don't know what you're doing right.
Exactly.
Right. So on the subject of Coda, so 3 weeks ago I drove the WRL there, which is an 8-hour Saturday, 8-hour Sunday enduro, and I did it in a boxer,
How did the boxer do?
It's a great car on that track. You know, it's under horsepower. We ran in GP1, which is the slowest of the classes.
It's okay.
And it goes all the way up to GTO. I wanted the track experience of driving full
yes.
body car on Coda, and so because of the car I recently acquired that is a full body car, I just wanted to go get that many laps in, and WRL is a great way to go get a ton of practice on.
Is that a manual transmission car?
It is a manual. Yeah, it's a five speed. Yep, and the car handles really good. And you know, to do 120 laps,
gosh.
And you drive you know, hour 45, 2 hour stints. And being the slowest class, you're watching your mirrors the entire time. So you're literally being passed by GTO cars, which are, you know, just to give kind of a delta, we're coming into turn eight off the straight in the boxer at 117, 120 miles an hour. They're coming in at 175 miles an hour. Right.
So you better pay attention to what's coming at you.
Yeah. And so the classes are really, really stretched out. And so my car awareness went way up during that experience. So I'm really glad I got the opportunity to do it. And it was a lot of fun.
Did you do it on purpose to learn that, to have that experience?
Yeah, just to kind of open my vision up even more, and to, you know, when you're racing spec racer, once everything gets lined up, it gets pretty sorted pretty quick. And so you're not being passed a lot, you're not doing a tremendous amount of passing.
Right, because you're in the same class.
Because they don't do multi-classes with spec racer, because there's generally enough spec racers show up to fill the field.
Yeah, when we run spec racer, unless it's an enduro of some, you know, some oddity, you're going to run with just spec racers on the track. And so it was very eye-opening. And I'd run Coda in the spec car. I'd driven it in an FE car, and I'd driven it in an F4 car. So I knew Coda.
We want to be you, okay? That's just let's just put it that way. You know, who doesn't?
Yeah.
I mean, we want to. If you had the opportunity to basically spend your days, if you're a golfer, on the golf course, every 18-hole golf course that known to man that is really challenging and has this wonderful history and all that, or a racetrack.
I'd go to the track.
I mean, track.
Well, of course we would. Of course we would. And you got the opportunity to do that. How wonderful is that?
It's absolutely a blessing, and I'm enjoying it so much. I mean, I'm so grateful to get.
Well, if you need somebody, a tire changer, an old tire changer that could barely get down on his knees, I'm here.
You guys should. So there's a SCCA race at Coda in January. So it's the first race of our season, and it's you know.
Can we hang out in the Loopy Tortilla Pit?
You can. Well, we all pit everybody in our stable pits together. But yeah, you could come hang out, and it's a Saturday and a Sunday thing. I don't know if the show's on, but it would be cool to have you guys.
Are you racing the
spec
racer? Or are you racing the M2?
I'm racing the spec. I'm racing the spec car at that. Yeah, the M2 is going to get some work done to it between now and when in March. It's going to have. So, before I get into that, let me finish up on spec. So yeah, you were talking about tracks, and you know, I've been really, really lucky. So in the 18, just over 18 months, I've been driving the spec car. I have driven. All right, let's see if I can run through and not miss any. So
she's gonna fix it for you.
Yeah, see if you can fill in, because she's been to almost every single one of them with me. So I've raced Sebring. I have raced. I'm gonna try and go around the country.
How cool is that?
Really cool. And so we go back. We
hard
go back.
On the car, though, isn't it?
And I just lied to you. The Coda race is in February. The Sebring race is in January. So okay. We'll be back in Sebring in January, and then February we're back in Coda. So just trying to go around the country makes it easier.
Yeah, yeah.
Sebring, VIR, so International, Road Atlanta, yep. Hallett, which I mentioned earlier, Coda, Road America.
Oh wow,
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. That's so much fun to go up there and be beautiful. in that track and the nostalgia and that. And Sheboygan is such a cool area of the country. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun.
I've been to Sheboygan.
Have you?
I'm from Waukesha.
Oh, okay. So you're very familiar.
Yes, I am.
Very familiar. So then the race season. Obviously, MSR Houston, Eagles Canyon, in Texas. Mentioned Hallett, and then so. There was the racing season kind of ends at the June sprints, you know, until the runoffs, which are like in September. And so because I didn't want to get itchy for racing.
Oh, he did.
I bought an.
I want to quote you. I was itchy for racing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a lie.
So
itchy. He's itchy because he wears wool.
We had another.
I mean.
Yeah, we had another car, and I was like, you know what we should do with that? We should take it to the June sprints in Road America and turn it over to a California outfit so we can run the California tracks, because California kind of picks up in the fall. And so I put that car at that car with Bulldog Motorsports, which is out of Modesto. And so I got to run Laguna Seca three times.
Oh, that
and
had then, to be yeah, pretty it, awesome, oh, as historic as that track is.
Yeah, and the corkscrew is just as fun as everybody says. And it that race culminated with the – we were the support race for the Indy race. So we're, like, in the pro experience with the stands full of people.
My God. Oh,
that's the track I forgot. So I went to the runoffs year one. I did not go to the runoffs this year just because of my schedule didn't work out for it. But I went to the runoffs year one, and it was at Indy. So I got to drive.
Sweet.
You know, we've got to drive past the pylon, you know. take the checkered at Indy and kiss the bricks and do all that, which was a ton of fun.
We did.
Anyway, Button Willow, and I also got to drive Button Willow and Thunder Hill. So it was a lot of fun to get all those.
Man, yeah. We want to be
the
you.
Only place. The only place I've not raced in California that's meaningful is Sonoma, and I will knock that out this year before the year's out. Yeah, so my goal in the spec car is to do every Super Tour race. There's 10 races, and the two new tracks that I'll have to do that I've not raced before will be Watkins Glen, which is another great historic track, and Portland International. So I'll get to race both of those.
How much fun is that?
For circuit racing, there's no such thing as cheap racing. I described it. You mentioned golf earlier. When
yes.
I talked to my friends that are golfers regularly, like, so what's it like to, you know, be in auto racing versus golf? They're very, very similar. Only difference is at the end of the golf match, it's like you threw the golf clubs in the trash every time, which is the tires on the car. So if you took up the entire set of golf clubs and threw them in the trash at the end of every weekend, you're like, okay, I got to buy, you know. So, yeah, it's
that is good.
But spec racing is very cost effective, and it's a great entry point. You get out there and you get, you know, there'll be, you know, typically 25 to 40 cars on track in a race, and then big Super Tour races can bring 60 to 70 cars on track at the same time. Oh, yeah, but it's a lot of fun. That means there's racing everywhere.
So do they run heats? Get to a final, or everybody runs?
Everybody, yeah. And typically it's a test practice day, and then a qual race, and then a qual race.
So you know the Emmons brothers.
I do.
Through your dad.
Okay. I do.
So every once in a while we get the opportunity to talk to Jerry, mm-hmm. and we zoom him in on our show when we're back in the studio, and we have so much fun. And I'm thinking, you know, we need to do that with you. So We're gonna line that up. What we need is your phone number. I guess I could get that from your dad, but whatever. And we need to talk about, since you are active on these road courses, and we also have the drag car that's coming up, we need to connect with you. Okay?
That'd be
so
great.
Let's plan on that. And so when is the first next event that you've got that is significant for us all to enjoy?
Yeah, so SCCA, there's a Super Tour event at Sebring in January.
Okay.
Second week in January.
So let's plan on that. Now, it's a Saturday morning, and there may be a conflict as, you know, qualifying or whatever it is that you're doing on Saturday morning. So we'll need to coordinate that, but let's do that. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And we'll
kind
all
of
talk.
Fit your schedule, because your schedule there is way more important. Yep. Than us.
Yeah, yeah. That would be awesome.
And,
it'd be a lot of fun.
Because I'm absorbing all of this. I'm going, oh, yeah, let's talk some more about this. We could sit and talk all day.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun.
It's great to have you guys here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
We really
appreciate your help.
Thanks for having us on.
Okay, we're gonna be in touch soon.
Okay, I like it.
All right. Hey, if you'd like to get in touch with us, shoot us an email. Our address is info@inwheeltime.com. We'll be back from the Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise-In right after this quick break.
Your friends and hosts of the quarterly Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise-In at the Loopy Tortilla in Katy want to thank you for participating in this year's events and look forward to another exciting year. You'll hear about the next Tailpipes and Tacos right here and online soon. Next time you're in West Houston, be sure and stop in at the original Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex near I-10 and Highway 6 or the Katy location off I-10 and the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard. Traveling east to Beaumont or northwest to College Station, you'll want to have Loopy's award-winning beef fajitas and frozen margaritas. There's always a celebration at Loopy Tortilla. Loopy founder Stan Holt and his wife Sheila are car people through and through. Both are winning racers on the NHRA drag racing circuit and have a collection of cars that everyone appreciates. You'll see one at the next Tailpipes and Tacos cruise in. The next event will be in the spring at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex on 99 the Grand Parkway and Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10 and Katy. We'll give you all the details soon here on the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show and online. Want to take a minute to tell you about Gulf Coast Auto Shield, a Houston detail company like no other. Gulf Coast Auto Shield offers paint correction services that'll give your car, truck, or SUV a like-new shine. Afterwards, you'll want to protect it with a professionally installed nano-ceramic coating or protection film. Worried about your very expensive windshield getting damaged, broken, or cracked? Let Gulf Coast Auto Shield install ExoShield, a windshield protection film. Give John Gray a call today or check out their website, gcautoshield.com. Hey, whether you own a new, ultra-expensive, exotic, or a five-year-old Suburban, Gulf Coast Auto Shield will help keep your investment looking like the day it rolled off the assembly line. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is conveniently located on the South Sam Houston Parkway, just south of I-69, the Southwest Freeway. Meet the staff and check out all of their services online right now at gcautoshield.com. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.